Emmanuel, Lord, we celebrate a God who is with us in the muck and mire of this life, on the good days, on the bad days, and everything in between, Lord. We celebrate your birth. We celebrate your constant coming into our lives today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with us. In your name we pray. Everyone said? Can you give the musicians a hand, ladies and gentlemen? So great. All right. Happy Christmas morning, or actually Christmas Eve morning. We're going to examine three great phrases about Christmas today, and we're going to do that with a little help from some friends. And the friends are, this is going to be a little bit unusual if you've never been to our church, the Grinch, Charlie Brown, and the Griswold family. Those are the three friends that are going to help us out a little bit here. Phrase number one is this, a little bit more. In the movie The Grinch, most of you have seen it, well, the Grinch and his tiny little dog Max live up in the mountainside above Whoville. And the Grinch hates the sound and the noise associated with Christmas. So one night he gets in a disguise and he makes his tiny dog Max pull a big, huge sleigh, which makes me feel so bad for the dog every year, okay? And they go down to Whoville and they steal all the presents and the food and the decorations, and they take it up the mountainside thinking, this will put an end to all the cursed noise. But they wake up on Christmas morning and the Grinch discovers he is wrong, because the Whos start celebrating Christmas anyway without all the stuff. And the Grinch realizes there's something special about Christmas. And so he thinks, and I'll put his thought on the screen here, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. That phrase, a little bit more, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. Not only is Christmas a little bit more, I believe our relationships with God are about a little bit more. A little bit more than skimming through life on the surface of things. A little bit more than just believing in God. I think some people want something more than that. To examine that, let's look at shepherds. Shepherds got to be at the birth of Jesus because they received this angelic visitor announcing the birth. They also got to hear heavenly choirs sing. It's amazing. And I've often wondered, why shepherds? There's nothing really spectacular about shepherds. In fact, just the opposite. In that time and culture, they were considered lower life forms. So why? Why did shepherds get the golden ticket to be at the birth of Jesus? I think it was because of one thing. They were available. You see, back then there were no cell phones or electricity. So at nighttime, they just lit a fire and watched their sheep. And if you've ever seen sheep, they are dull animals. I go on a power walk around our neighborhood, and one of our neighbors has sheep, has like a little plot of land, he has sheep, and I stopped and watched him the other day. Dull. They literally just stand and chew, and sometimes they just stand. Or sometimes they lay down, and sometimes they're so dull, they can't even get back up. They need help getting back up. Sheep are some of the dullest animals. It's not like they're out in the fields playing rugby or anything for the shepherd's delight. So shepherds spend a lot of time in the stillness and in the silence. So maybe, just maybe, in my mind, I think the angel announced the birth of Jesus to everybody in that region, actually. But they were too distracted to hear it. Too distracted and busy to notice. Only the shepherds noticed. That's my bet. That's what I think actually happened. If we want to experience a relationship with God that's a little bit more, we actually need to become more shepherd-like, not smelling of manure and kind of bored, but silent and contemplative. I'm going to quote a 7th century monk named Saint Isaac, believe that or not, okay? I thought of you, Isaac, when I was quoting this. And he says something so brilliant. He says, if you love the truth, be a lover of silence. Silence, like the sunlight, will illuminate you in God. Did you catch that last line? Silence will illuminate you in God. That is so true and so wonderful. To experience God in a deeper way, there is no substitute for silence. And that's difficult in our busy, noisy culture, but it's doable. But we have to stop. Stop moving, stop doing, stop talking, just be still. Breathe in, breathe out for a moment, and just listen. What is God saying to you? What is God showing you? What inklings and ideas are coming your way? If you don't know where to start, start where Lisa had us start 2 weeks ago in a spiritual practice, when she had us sit silently in here just for 1 minute with our eyes closed and think about God. Just think about looking at God looking at you in love. That's the phrase she said. Look at God looking at you in love, and think about that for a minute. Oh, so good. So let's allow silence to be our doorway to a little bit more this season. Second phrase, a humble king. Jesus was born in a humble setting, not in a stable. That's actually not in the Bible. Don't know why that's in all the Christmas stories, but it's not in the Bible. Mary and Joseph, they were poor. Their whole extended family was poor. Only rich people had a house and a stable. Most people lived in a single room dwelling. Some people actually added an upper room to that dwelling, and those upper rooms were called catalumas. And they would have rented those out like an ancient Airbnb. In fact, when it says in Luke chapter 2 that there was no room for them at the inn, the word inn is cataluma. So what had happened is all of Mary and Joseph's extended family had to come to Bethlehem for a census, because Romans had a deep love of counting so they could feel more powerful. And so they are there in Bethlehem, but by the time Mary and Joseph got there, some of their own family members had already taken up residence in the cataluma. So Mary and Joseph would have stayed in the bottom floor with all the rest of the family. And in this main part of the house, that's where an animal or several animals would have slept at night, not just to keep the animals warm, but more importantly, so they wouldn't be stolen, because these people were poor. They relied on these animals. There were animals in the house, actually, at nighttime when Jesus was born. But no little drummer boy, because no woman I've ever talked to wants a boy banging a drum as they're giving birth, okay? But there were animals in there. So when Jesus was born, they did lay him in a manger, which would have been one of the animals' food troughs, because a food trough makes a really great impromptu manger. So he was laid in a manger. But Christmas was a humble affair, which is why the Charlie Brown Christmas special gets it right. It's so great. It captures the humility of Christmas, especially the part, my favorite part in that show is when Charlie is sent, I don't know why they send him to do errands, but they do, and they sent him to get the Christmas tree for the school play, and he brings back this mangy-looking tree, okay, that can't even stand up under the weight of a single ornament. But back to Jesus. At the time Jesus was born, Caesar was the Roman Empire, the most powerful man by far on the entire planet. And while he was emperor, he was referred to, he was deified. So they said of Caesar, he was born of a virgin. It was a miraculous birth, his birth was. And he was the son of a god. Well, then Jesus comes along, and he's born, and now Jesus is being called by people born of a virgin and the son of God. It was the people's way of saying, sorry, Caesar, there's a new king in town. There's a new government. There's a new way to live. But Jesus was so radically different than Caesar. Caesar was a god, small g, that enslaved people. Jesus was a god, big G, that set people free. Caesar was born in a mansion. Jesus was laid in a food trough, a manger. Caesar was a god who lived with all kinds of oppressors and people of power. Jesus is a god who lived with and loved people who were oppressed. Caesar was the definition of pride and power. Jesus was the definition of love and humility. I want to read from my big holiday Bible today, because it makes me feel so spiritual. This thing weighs like 45 pounds. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Oh, those are such great words. How great is that? Charlie Brown had it right. Christmas is about humility. It's about the birth of a humble king who invites us as his followers to be humble also, because he knows we can't love without humility, because when we walk in pride, our pride crowds out everything but our sense of self. How crazy. I'm 60 years old now, and I thought, man, we're taught by our culture to ascend. We're taught that our whole life. It's all about climbing the ladder. It's all about trying to attain as much power and popularity and position and status as you can. And then Jesus comes along and says, no, you got it all wrong. The party's not at the top. The party is at the bottom. Join me in humility, because that's where the love is. That's where the love is. I don't know what one of my sermons would be like recently without quoting from a poet. So I'm going to do it today from the mystic poet Rumi. Look what he says about humility and love. Spread the trap of humility and you'll ensnare love. Oh, Rumi's in the house, ladies and gentlemen. He's so right. Now let's move on to the last phrase. A light has shone. One of the more popular shows around Christmas time is Chevy Chase, when he stars in Christmas Vacation with the Griswold family. Here's an iconic line that his wife utters in the middle of the movie. And there are so many, most of them are kind of R-rated and I wouldn't share them. Well, I actually would, but not today. Okay, but I like this line when his wife talks. Can we pop this up on the screen? Oh, no, sorry. You didn't have this one on the screen. She says this, I don't know what to say, but it's Christmas and we're all in misery. She says that. It just sticks out in the movie to me, that and several other scenes. But maybe some of us can relate to that line right now. Maybe you're in this room and, truth be told, you're kind of pretending because you don't feel very Christmassy. Maybe due to your circumstances or what's happened to your life lately. But here's the good news. No matter what we are feeling today, there is hope, because there is light. Light's a major theme when you read through the scriptures and are learning about Christmas. The star lights up the night sky and lights the way to the birth of Jesus. When the shepherds were visited by the angel that we talked about, it says the night sky radiated with the presence of God's glory. And then back to the big old Bible today, in Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet Isaiah, years and years and years before the birth of Jesus, when he foretells the birth, he says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Oh, those are great words. Darkness is often associated with some awful things like gloom and sorrow and helplessness and depression and fear. I can't believe how much fear is attached to darkness in our lives and in the scripture. That's why all the horror movies that you watch, they're always at night, because they wouldn't be as scary at noon. At noon, it's just a crazy guy walking around with a soccer or a hockey mask. At nighttime, it's absolutely terrifying. But into all this darkness, all the darkness of our own lives, the depression we face sometimes, the sorrow, the gloom, the fear, the hopelessness, into that darkness, a light has shone, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It'll try. It's tried so hard in my life, but it never succeeds, because even the smallest amount of light is infinitely more powerful than massive amounts of darkness. And that gives us hope. And it all reminds me of the best scene in The Lord of the Rings. Frodo and Sam, who is my favorite character in all of The Lord of the Rings, are taking the ring to Mordor, specifically to Mount Doom, to destroy it. And it's a place of ominous darkness, and they depict it well in the movie. And it's a difficult and frightening journey. But then, in the midst of this darkness, this happens. And I'll put the words on the screen so you can follow along. It says this, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. Let me say the last line again. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. How awesome is that? So no matter how we feel today, no matter what we're facing, we can remember that the darkness is a small and passing thing. Yeah, for into our life a light has shone. Let the beauty of that smite your heart today, like it says in that story, and bring you hope this Christmas. I'm going to call Chelsea and Dan back up. They're going to do a special song that's actually about this point. And as they're singing this song to us, and you'll really enjoy it, and she learned it just for us today. She's such a trooper, okay? I'm going to show on the screen a photo of the Griswolds' house as it was lit at Christmas time, okay? And this is actually a guy, I believe, in Los Angeles who recreated it. And you can see that from like Mars, and the picture does it no justice. But look at the picture and remember that a light has shone into your life, and enjoy this song, and then I'll come up and pray for us. Chelsea and Dan?
I actually have another random little thing I wanted to add. There's this short, like, it's kind of like a little poem story called The Old Astronomer. And there's this line in there that, like, has always stuck with me, especially when you think about being afraid of the dark. I'm sure most of us have been or might still be a little bit. But I have this phrase actually above our bed. And it says, "Though my soul may set in darkness, it will rise in perfect light. I have loved the stars too fondly to be fearful of the night." And I just like thinking about that there are these little glimpses of light even in the darkness. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I swear that love will find you in your pain. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. Oh, ashes fall from burning dreams. Oh, never live through times like these. Oh, if you're trying hard to breathe in the dark, in the dark. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I swear that love will find you in your pain. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. Oh, if your screams don't make a sound. Oh, if your walls are crashing down. Oh, if your heart just cries too loud all the time. All the time. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I swear that love will find you in your pain. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. In my veins. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I swear that love will find you in your pain. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I know there's gonna be some brighter days.
Let me pray for us. God, I want to pray for all of us here and for our families and friends. May we learn to love the silence so that we can experience a little bit more of you this year, Lord. Please humble us. That's a scary prayer, but we pray it, Lord, so we can love others like you do. And Lord, help us to remember that darkness is a small and passing thing, for into our life a light is shone, and there will be brighter days Fill us with the hope of that this season, Lord. In your name we pray. Everyone said? Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. And remember, we will not have a service here next Sunday. It's around New Year's. Just celebrate that safely, I might add, and we'll meet the following Sunday. Have a great day. Love you. I got to catch somebody.